I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should know that you might want to have a paper and pencil handy so that can you write down a lot of information that you might want to research after the program. And tonight's show will be no exception. In fact, just based on a guess, I'd say that probably in terms of quality information and lots of it coming your way, tonight's program probably will be one of the top five in the history of this program, which has been going on for over 10 years. We're going to be getting into lots of cutting-edge material, of course, some scientific as well. But before we get into all of that, certainly would like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa yoga. Kind of sets the tone for the rest of the program, and that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Hari
Hari, 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 Om.
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 Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om. Hari, 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 Om.
Hari, 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 Om.
Hari, 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 Om. Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari
Om.
Shanti.
Yes, that was a clip from back in the 1970s. A little bit of Japa Yoga, J-A-P-A, led by Sri Swami Sachidananda. And he was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. I'd like to take this opportunity now to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also be aware that I totally applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And that's in keeping with developing your own autonomy and your own self-empowered states, which lead to your creating your excellent health, as well as learning ways and methods of maintaining it and also dealing with issues as they arise, barring emergency situations. I'd like to also take this opportunity to thank the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. As Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference just by being you, and other people become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. Also, I much appreciate those listeners who do take the time to email me with questions or recommendations concerning program content, and nothing makes my week more than to hear about your successes by either using some new technique, idea, or concept that you picked up from listening to the ET Yoga program. And you can always email me at green@etyoga.com. That's green, G-R-E-E-N, at etyoga.com. So when I was preparing for the show tonight, I guess a few things jumped out during the week, as usual, and gave a couple of workshops in different cities in Florida in the last while, and I guess one of the things that really comes up everywhere is this whole concept about yoga, because it's such a common thing in North America for people to think of yoga as the postures or the asanas. People have kind of lost their the connection here between the real yoga. And yoga, as it's used on this program, it means union. And it means union with your higher self, union with the universe, source energy, but it definitely union with higher consciousness. And that's what brought about this combination of the title, ET Yoga, because over the course of several decades, I've been sifting and sorting out valid information that's been channeled from extraterrestrial sources and utilizing the energy that is self-empowering and helps us with our spiritual progress. And speaking of a spiritual progress, the whole concept of ET Yoga is about self-realization. And self-realization is certainly, you know, at the foundation of everything else that's presented on this program. In fact, I guess there's a commonality that spiritual seekers do have, and that is called the planting of the seed. And that's when a person becomes aware of the fact that there are higher states of consciousness and you have the ability to attain them. And that's also in some circles called the true baptism. And this planting of the seed, once the seed's planted, then the plant grows. And definitely this is one of the common things that all spiritual seekers have in common. Typically, a person may have a flash of their higher selves. As an example, Sri Ramana Maharshi, who utilized the Who Am I technique, or the Vichara, that's V-I-C-H-A-R-A. It's a technique that I'll be presenting at the end of the program. But at any rate, it's definitely a very powerful technique. And first time Sri Ramana Maharshi asked about who he was, they went through the doorway and stayed self-realized. He has a book out called The Path of Self-Knowledge, and I highly, highly recommend that book. And, of course, he was kind of like ripe fruit. When it's ready, it's ready. For most of us, we'll have the realization or that aha moment, and then we are still not able to maintain that highest level of awareness. And so we do spend our rest of our lives maybe on that spiritual journey. And definitely there's a few things that I would suggest along the way that over the course of, like I said, many decades of being on this journey, I definitely have found that meditation is very, very helpful. I would highly recommend that you try to find a method of meditation. It could even be the Hari Om mantra. Could be the XYZ that's played on this show on occasion. You might even enjoy the Sri Yantra, which is not a mantra, but a yantra. But the whole idea here is you're developing a concept that you're focusing your mind in one spot. And then mantras, I find, are very powerful and easy to deal with in that regard. And then as you're focused on that mantra, if you find that your attention's wavering, when you become aware of it, just gently bring your mind back to the focal point of what you're doing. And it is definitely a training of the mind. And very powerful benefits that do derive from meditation, as proven even by science. I would also highly recommend that you tell the story of a happy life and focus on all the positive things that you have to be grateful and appreciative for. Definitely, if you are painting a negative picture of your life, it would be like putting a disc into a computer that's eventually going to play out a negative scenario. I'd also think it's really important that you realize that it's your thoughts, your intentions, your beliefs, your definitions, your emotions that create the outer experience that you have. And in that sense, you need to be a frequency match for what you experience, and that's how it's done, through belief. And in my opinion, belief is everything. You can take everything you've ever learned in your educational circles, or even everything you've ever learned in your spiritual practices, but if you only got one point down, and that was that belief creates, or thought creates, that's the big one. And that kind of information has been coming to us for multiple decades. And I can go back to identify back in the 70s in the Seth material from Jane Roberts, when he's been stating that your beliefs create the outer world that you live in. We heard the same information coming from Bashar, who was channeled by Daryl Anka. We heard the same information coming from Barbara Marciniak, channeling Pleiadian information, and her book, Bringers of the Dawn, which I consider to be like the classic text if you want to start getting involved with extraterrestrials and extraterrestrial information. And the core of that and the focus of a lot of that information is that thought creates or belief creates. And now even our modern science is catching up with us because, as Greg Braden has pointed out, most of these quantum physicists are realizing is that the world is a holographic universe, and that it's also fractal, that it operates much like a computer program or a reality creation program, only holographic, and like every program, there is a language of interpretation, and the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. And that concept is symbolized in the idea of the placebo effect, where Just because you believe something works, it does. And that concept is not true just in the medical area. It's true in every area of your life. What you believe is. And we all need to spend a little bit more time finding out what we do believe, changing old beliefs that are not relevant anymore, creating new ones, and spending more time in our imaginations and in positive reality creation, rather than spending all of our time focusing on what somebody else has already created. And I also would highly recommend that people intend activating their 12 strands of DNA and their 12 chakra system. Two of the best ways I know about that are the Pleiadian Pillar of Light technique, and also you can look on YouTube under Solara on Ra, and a specific one activating your 13 chakras, the 13th being the heart chakra. And as I was referring to science catching up with us, we're not only hearing from the scientists that are talking about how the universe functions, but also Tom Campbell, one of the top quantum physicists, has recently come out with a statement that intention affects future probability, which is another way of saying that belief or thought creates. So we're even getting a confirmation from some of our top scientists concerning how important this whole concept of belief and thought is. And it also spills over into the health area. And interesting little piece of information I picked up this week. Of course, one of my favorites are the Essenes, who are known as the ancient healers. And this one's really kind of cool because the Essene Gospel of Peace is an amazing treatise by Jesus on healthy living and eating, in which he advocates fasting, detoxing, vegetarianism, and a 100% raw food diet. And I think that's really kind of an interesting point. That, you know, we don't really think of his information relating to vegetarianism, but obviously any high spiritual being would definitely be promoting that concept. And what's really interesting after reading about the Essenes, and what kind of struck me is that here we are in the 21st century and we think we're so cool and smart with all our little gadgets and stuff, while this ancient intentional community that must have looked very primitive to the outsiders knew how to connect with their higher self, to project their consciousness to any event, space, and to know about the solar system and to heal themselves energetically. And while they used some outer technologies given to them, they didn't know how they were made or how to fix them, so they didn't become attached were dependent on them. Why? Because they knew that inner technology with their human form was far superior to any gadget or invention, whether it's a self-driving car, a rocket to Mars, or a quantum computer. And certainly a lesson that should be taken by our modern society, which has become totally addicted to their gadgetry and their little attention-getting devices. Might also note that the three basic principles that were followed by the Essenes in their healing. First, it was believed that divinity was expressed in the plant kingdom and as an antidote for the illnesses of the human kingdom, and that for every illness they're expressed a palliative in a root, leaf, bark of a tree or plant, and the Essenes therefore were herbalists in the highest sense of the word. And the second method of healing was to make use of healing stones, bits of various kinds of rock or hardened earth, the power of such stones in influencing magnetic fields under the direction of one who is versed in this type of therapy, became common knowledge at a later period of the Essenes, and the Essenes also created salves from natural sources. And the third method of healing, in which the Essenes were extremely well versed, drew upon the healing powers of the invisible worlds around them. They acquired an unparalleled mastery in manipulating these healing powers of the superior spheres, and they were also aware of the cleansing miracle of pure water. And I may also note that the Essenes actually had a yoga system at that time, and it's almost identical to what Sri Swami Satchidananda taught in his integral yoga. Definitely all the different types of yoga, including a Laya yoga that was not taught by Satchidananda, but they did teach the Raja yoga, or silent meditation, the Hatha yoga, the physical postures, and the breath work. And they also had a Bhakti yoga, which was love and devotion to God, Jnana yoga, the spiritual study and discourse, and of course this Laya yoga, which was basically a science of using the chakras to bring about higher states of consciousness. They also had a Karma yoga, which was about creative work for the upliftment of all, and a mantra yoga, or verbs of prayer, and saying a chanting of mantras, which we now call japa yoga. And definitely, this is amazing information that I came across about a year ago, because I never knew that, even as a practitioner of integral yoga, that 2,000 years ago the Essenes were practicing this. And I came across also some really interesting information this week concerning kind of a global disconnect that's happening. I think it's important for people to know about. And this comes from Truth Stream Media, from Aaron and Melissa Dykus. The information kind of relates to the recent studies show the average person spends some 50 days of their lives each year online now. So much is being communicated so quickly, it's becoming impossible to keep up and physically process it all. The UN's World Health Organization officially recognized burnout as a medical diagnosis. As the images in our media consumption are going by faster and faster, in the past two decades, we have gone from commercials training our brains to accept piecemeal sound bites of information on television screens to computer platforms like Vine and Twitter, teaching us to communicate in short time or character limits on smartphone screens. When information overload is taken to its logical conclusion, it conditions a state of learned helplessness in most people, who bury their heads further in the ever-widening, endless array of blue screen distractions to let others do their critical thinking for them. Technocrats are actually discussing a future where people will eventually grow so burned out they'll actually want to live in a simulation, build as a techno-utopia. And once zero latency and 5G and virtual reality combine, well, we'll really haven't seen anything yet. And this is also in other circles, it's called the global cognitive failure, which makes the people more easily governed via rules, regulations, and surveillance. And I noticed that David Icke also picked up on this, and a lot of times David and I are picking up on similar topics at the same time. And according to David, he believes that there's a force, not human, which has been manipulating perception to the point where we are intellectually intelligent enough to build our own prisons, but we're not wise enough to realize what we're building. And he calls it the end game, heading towards total enslavement, and it is the takeover of AI. Down the road, it leads to a hive mind or human consciousness absorbed by AI. AI will do more and more of our thinking for us until our own thinking becomes extinct. As the Pleiadians have presented, AI gets civilizations to become dependent on them and addicted to it, and down the road we become obsolete. We're also heading for the synthetic human or transhumanism. Conditioning is also happening to move us toward a no-gender society. And the text on a practical level is that the cell phone, is the cell phone using you or you using the cell phone? If you're addicted to the phone, then it's using you. And we can also see how many are being forced to use it in their jobs. And I appreciate that each person's individual circumstance is different. But the rule of thumb for me is to only use technology as little as possible. And I might also add that the Pleiadians state that people living the most naturally will be the healthiest. And there's no doubt in my mind that we've got an example of that in the whole idea of the Amish. And if we take a look at the Amish, especially in the area of autism among children, autism is practically unheard of among 60,000 children that are Amish. And that they also have a fractional percent of the amount of cancer and heart disease. And let's look at the specifics of what these people are, because they're living the most natural. They are basically growing their own food. They're limiting their technology, particularly electronic. They're also not taking vaccines. And the bottom line is that it's coming out in proof positive in their state of health. And my suggestion to people would be to try to live like the Essenes, but you're still in the city. And, of course, maybe that we can't totally duplicate that, but I guess you can try to the best of your ability. Especially what we're seeing here is a total, degeneration of human health. In fact, if you think about it, the original human being, we had 12 strands of DNA actively working and maintaining the full function of the human as a spiritual being. And with our over-preoccupation with the left brain thinking and the closing down of our heart centers, plus a little help from our friends manipulating our DNA, these extra DNA strands have been lost. In fact, as I understand it, Lemuria was a fifth-dimensional society, Atlantis a fourth-dimensional. Then after the fall of Atlantis, the Earth became a third-dimensional. And we also lost contact with, conscious contact with our higher self. So when we're born, we don't remember we have a higher self. And the consequence of this is that we now live in a spiritually deficient society, and our intuitive and healing abilities have been highly reduced. It's also resulted in us only accessing and using a very small part of our brains. You know, a fact that, people kind of know about, but don't seem to think anything of it other than just being aware of the fact that, you know, even science has been trying to tell us that we're only use maybe 5% of our brains or 10 at the max. But don't you think there's something kind of strange about that, you know? And the truth is that we still have these other 10 strands of DNA and the other chakra systems, and now that the Earth is moving into the ascension phase, where it's going to be moving up to 5D, these are now being activated, which is the reason why we haven't heard about those in some of the yoga teachings. because we only hear about the seven chakras in the body, because the other ones were, for the most part, dormant for a long, long time. And to me, this is something that if you want my opinion, it's similar to what's in this at HealthWise, and that's H-E-A-L-T-H-W-Y-Z-E, that the Amish diet consists of eating organic, fresh, locally grown produce, and of course they do not follow the established vaccination routines. To the dismay of mainstream media and the medical establishment, this has resulted in a healthier people who are void of all of our chronic diseases. Heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are virtually non-existent in the Amish villages, and equally non-existent are our modern chemically engineered medicines, enhanced chemically engineered foods, GMO'd, genetically engineered food, and of course the vaccines. And this is really the blueprint here for a healthier lifestyle. And in my opinion, really when it comes down to it, your health and your spirituality kind of go hand in hand. In fact, what I noticed was about 10 years back, because I posted at my website, etyoga.com, I posted as a free download there, the root cause of disease. And it's still there. So you can go to my website at etyoga.com and download that, no strings attached, anytime. And it was a cutting edge then. And in fact, sometimes when I give workshops, I do show some Greg Braden clips, because he found that Beijing Qigong Center that took a woman's inoperable tumor from the West and made it dissolve in 3 minutes. And that's on YouTube. It's called Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes by Greg Braden. I was so thrilled to see that documentary, because it shows the actual tumor disappearing, and also proves the concept that this can happen. And this, to me, was amazing, because even though I knew about the concept about 10 years before he showed this, it was the first that I've seen it proven to the public. And I think there's a couple other methods that I think are similar to that that I've since learned about. One is called Healing with the Higher Self from Master Kathumi, which is an 11-day program. Basically deals with offering up all your hatred, anger to your higher self, and there's a focus on what's called electromagnetic blue energy that you visualize swirling in an anti-clockwise manner around any affected area. And also information from Enoch Tan. And Enoch Tan, I think the core of his idea is basically that what's known in one part of the universe is known in all parts. So if you actually are focused and wired enough to have a belief, it can override somebody else's belief. And he also has a real good suggestion in that to not think of things as nouns, but more as energy. And it's much easier to dissipate energy than it is if you think something is, you know, a hard, tangible object. In fact, for the most part, even our physical bodies are not hard, tangible objects, but we're like electromagnetic energy waves, if you like. And in my opinion, all dis-ease shows itself up in the auric field first and then manifests in the physical body. And that's why things such as Egyptian healing rods or going into the healing chambers of some of the pyramids has had such a highly beneficial effect on the people who go there or who use the Egyptian healing rods, because they basically heal your auric fields. and make them stronger. And of course, in my opinion, even if something heals you in that manner, if you continue the same beliefs, you may re-manifest those conditions. So it behooves you to not only do the proper healing methods, but to also do the proper inner work on the beliefs, because as stated at the top of the show, belief is everything. I'm going to now share with you some, I think, really powerful information from Enoch Tan. And this covers some a lot of different areas, but all it with, I love it because it's kind of like ET Yoga, very condensed information. And he states that the secret of anything is consciousness of that thing. Intention is the offspring of consciousness. When you are conscious of something, you are also intending it. What you intend is what you manifest. And to me, this kind of relates also to the creator or God or infinite energy or spirit, whatever label you want to use, because as Sri Swami Sachidananda would say, as many minds, as many gods. You can't define the infinite, so there isn't a specific definition that fits. And it's similar to if you take a cup to the ocean, it takes the shape of the cup, and if you take your mind to God, it takes the shape of your mind. And to my mind, the whole world was brought into manifestation by Prime Creator intending it, and it was backed by the emotion of universal unconditional love. So here we have the combination of thought and intention resulting in creation. And we are fractals of the Prime Creators. And that's why the whole concept of thought and emotion and creating our realities also work for us. And certainly this is a concept that mainstream information and those trying to control humanity certainly do not want free thinkers. In fact, it is the cornerstone of moving on to the next dimensional level. The idea that your thoughts, beliefs, definitions, emotions, intentions create your outer reality. If you don't get that point, then you're going to just be in a third dimensional reality, powerless. And the fact is that by realizing that you're 100% responsible for what you create, it is your point of power, because if you created it, then you have the power to fix it. And your actions are naturally guided by your thoughts, and your doing comes from your being, which manifests all of your having. And the secret of power is consciousness of power. When you are weak, it's because you have lost consciousness of power. The moment you are conscious of your power, you feel powerful and manifest power. In every situation you are in, be conscious of your power. No power is truly external, but all power is internal. The secret of success is consciousness of success. Think and feel success, and your actions will be guided towards success by your subconscious mind. The reason of failure is not so much based on the actions a person takes, but the consciousness behind the actions. Those who think their success will cause their actions to result in success, whereas those who think failure will cause their actions to result in failure. Success is in the start. You are a success the moment you see yourself as a success. The secret of wealth is consciousness of wealth. In order to experience abundance, you have to be abundant. Abundance is your true nature, and when you think, act, and live accordingly, you will manifest abundance. The rich in mentality get richer, while the poor in mentality get poorer. The accumulation of material wealth begins with wealth consciousness. Pursuing spiritual development before working on wealth creation is the key to attaining both inner and outer states. The outer is the reflection of the inner. And by the way, this also resolves the belief that it is said in India that it's harder for a rich man to become enlightened than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. So the idea here being that if you started out only focusing on your material world and became hugely successful, it would be a much more difficult situation to become self-realized. So the idea here is before working on wealth creation, the key is attaining, you know, your spiritual path. And as Sadhguru would say, when you're always looking at cutting the corners and making things that make money, you can earn a living. But when you're giving, you're making a life. The secret of health is consciousness of health. Disease is lack of ease psychologically and physically. Conflicting thoughts and feelings in your consciousness is what causes the state of distress. When you notice yourself becoming sick, watch for conflicting thoughts that have arisen within your consciousness and resolve them. Either push them all away, one way or the other, or find a way to hold them in a harmonious way. External remedies only cure symptoms that deal with consciousness, and dealing with consciousness cures it at the root. The secret of love is consciousness of love. Even though you may have a person, you may not always be loving to that person. Sometimes in difficult moments, you have to choose whether to be loving or not loving. Being conscious of your love and choosing to be loving in those moments is what makes all the difference. You experience love for yourself when you're conscious of the love that the universe has for you. And out of the love that you feel for yourself from the Creator, you can express the love to another. The secret of influence is consciousness of influence. Men who command greater influence over other men are those who are conscious of their own influence. They speak knowing that others would listen. Their claims are not weak and their appeals not uncertain. To be a power persuader or communicator, you must believe in yourself. It is not so much about the message you say, but the belief in what you say that moves people. What comes from the heart goes to the heart. Strong minds are world powers. The secret of enlightenment is consciousness of enlightenment. The attainment of enlightenment is not an elusive thing. Becoming enlightened does not require years of cultivation or huge amounts of effort. The shortest path to enlightenment is realization. It is a thing of the mind. When you are conscious of enlightenment, you will connect with the universal mind to draw inspiration and alignment of your thoughts, which bring you toward realizing the true nature of all reality. Enlightenment is mental. The secret of effortlessness is consciousness of effortlessness. In anything you do, you can do it the hard way or the easy way. It is your belief that creates the kind of experience you have with doing something. For the accomplishment of anything, there are others who have done it in less time, with less effort, without losing quality or effort. Consciousness of effortlessness is the way to transcend the world because it is doing work that is in alignment with the divine. Act with mind in effortlessness. The secret of nirvana or happiness is consciousness of happiness. Nirvana or happiness is not something you want for a long time to happen to you. Nirvana or happiness is a state you enter the moment you shift your consciousness into it. Being conscious of things that make you happy causes you to feel happiness. The more you think about the happy things in life, the more happiness you feel and the more conditions of happiness you attract. You can experience happiness and create it, more of it, at will. The secret of secrets is the consciousness of secrets. All the truths about life are not secrets, but they are hidden from us due to our own ignorance. By thinking about the discovery of truth as a search for the secrets, we motivate our subconscious mind to go on a treasure hunt. The greatest treasures in this world is wisdom, and life is to be played as a treasure hunting game. Treasures are meant to be appreciated, and so when you think of truths as secrets, your appreciative mindset will draw them to you. And that is material from Enoch Kahn. And I really think that there was so much in a few paragraphs there that you might want to go and check out the archives of this program. And you can do that very easily. You can go to my website at etyoga.com. And there's a radio archive button on the main page. You just hit the one button, takes you to the most recent ones. Today's program will be up on Monday sometime. And then you can take your time and go through and make notes on what I consider to be a lot of really great information condensed into a few paragraphs. But a lot of true wisdom from Enoch Kahn. I noticed also on the web this week an anonymous message that about the first matter or the prima matra or the first matter for our stone is a mercurial sulfur everyone possesses in abundance, yet it is hated and despised by all, thought to be the most vulgar and revolting of all substances. It is the golden liquid we disperse of every day and regard merely as waste in its urine. You must let it purify for 2 weeks and separate out the clear oil and white earth. The white earth is ammonium, nitrate, and phosphate compound. The urea breaks down and becomes ammonia, and then bacteria converts the ammonia into nitrates. When the oil first appears, it is clear and easy to miss if you don't angle the light correctly. It will reflect a rainbow of colors, as most oils do when separated and cleaned. It is then unified with the earth and carefully dried into a powder. If too much heat is used, it will explode. This is the unmultiplied true stone of the alchemists. Proof of this can be found in transmutation. One part of our red universal stone will transmute 10 times its weight of molten lead to gold. The discovery 12,000 years ago in what is now the Sahara Desert of Africa, a man found a white salt and consumed it for food. And it turned out to be his own urine that had changed to the salt. But this was only the white earth. For thousands of years, this secret was kept among a few people, and they named their brotherhood the White Brotherhood because of their fascination and obsession with the white powder. Eventually, this brotherhood became the Rosicrucian order. The word Rosicrucian comes from the words rosy, meaning dew, and cruci, meaning crucible or fire up. But to cover that up, they used the words rose and cross. This is because they found that when morning dew is digested on low heat in a flask, a brownish material forms, which then becomes a white powder and is much like the one from urine, and it can be digested further and become red. Much later in history, they discovered a red oil could be obtained from putrefied urine. If left in the dark and only exposed to the rays of the moon, but never the sun, eventually a colorful clear oil forms on the surface. This is the peacock's tail. It turns red after being separated and circulated. This was the material which would become the philosopher's stone of the Middle Ages. They found that if it cured all disease and eventually even tried it on metal to discover that lead and other metals can indeed be transmuted into gold. This is where the lead to gold came from. They weren't searching for a substance that would do that. They just happened upon it by divine coincidence. They simply wanted to see what medicine they might be able to make from metals with the red mercury. By heating the metal to red hot and boiling the red powder would transmute it to gold. But why gold? It's the only element on the periodic table with a right-hand atomic spin. Reverse the spin of any element and it will become gold. So they would now unite the white earth with the red oil to form a solid powder which changes your mental functioning so profoundly they related it to the way lead is changed to gold by this universal tincture. By doing it this way, it becomes impossible to reveal the secret to anyone because it will just sound like quackery in these modern times. However, a lot of health benefits have been found from substances in the urine, and some time ago, actually some go so far as to drink their own urine. Luckily for you, that won't be the case because you don't need to drink this vile waste. You can use pure ammonium nitrate found in bags of instant cold packs, and you can clean the oil well using plenty of water until it loses its vulgar odor. Each alchemist used his own urine to make their own stone. It sharpens the senses until the spirits and beings of the astral realms become visible. It strengthens the astral body until it achieves domination over the physical, and it becomes possible to leave and travel to the 125 billion galaxies of our universe. So now you know the secret. Now you can obtain what you desire. There's so little written about it that searching the results for urine and the Philosopher's Stone will turn up only a few documents about the process and many old alchemy texts that claim it is a waste of time to try and make the stone from urine and such other things. One document that plainly reveals the process is by a psychic, and another is a copy of a 200-year-old letter sent to Sigmund Backstrom, which he never intended to make public, and it's still very hard to find, part of the RAMS manuscripts. Then you have this document here by me. I placed it here so that the secret can be findable, and the seekers of our art, it will remain out of the general public, yet within the reach of the dedicated alchemist. For as long as the lot of philosophers remains small, a small one, it is far from a happy place. And though you will see the white earth forms effortlessly on every occasion, the oil does not manifest itself every time. You must try again and again through various seasons and temperatures, and perhaps the diet has something to do with it, or perhaps it's dependent on certain astrological alignments in the heavens, as the alchemists have always claimed. And I might add that I've previously talked about information concerning the urine as the secret to the Philosopher's Stone, and the idea here being to use a flask with round corner with that's round at the bottom, can't be in corners. Put the urine in the flask during a full lunar eclipse. Leave it sit for 40 days. Then you cork and seal the top. And basically it takes about 15 months, and you will likely have some results. I'd like to, at this point in time, thank my listening audience and also just for being you, and to wish you my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I'll share with you the Who Am I technique, which is where you put your full focus in the center of your forehead and ask the question, who am I? And once you've done that, you can ask a question a few times, several times, whatever really feels comfortable for you. And if you just play with this technique, I think you'll find that you'll have some results. And the idea here being is to be get in the highest place you know how to get to before you do this, then place your full attention in the center of your forehead, become that spot, and then state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.